Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Horius Daf Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will be beginning from the bottom of Daf Hey Omid Beis. You will notice a framed section, three lines from the bottom, beginning with the word Tanya. Framed sections in our Gemara marking system introduce Tanaic sources. They are framed off so as to set them apart from the rest of the Gemara literature. Before we actually learn the Gemara inside, let's take advantage of one of the other features of our Gemara markings, and that is the introductory notes and structural notes that one finds in the outside margins of our marked Gemaras. In this case, we have a nosei, a topic heading, and it's entitled as follows: Kushya al Shitas Rabbi Meir, the Beis Din Mevi Velo Tzibor. We've already learned in previous Shurim that there is a machlokes tanoim concerning the number of korbonos that are brought in the event that the top court, the Sanhedrin HaGadol, errs in their ruling. Shitas Rabbi Meir was that Beis Din alone brings a korban without the participation of the tribes. We are going to ask on his shita that only the high court brings. Echu mazbir haposuk b'sefer Ezra shemazkir havos yud beis chatois al yedei klal Yisrael. How does he explain a posuk in the book of Ezra that mentions the bringing of 12 chatos on the part of Klal Yisrael? So we have a source that represents the beginning of a question as well. The length of the question is indicated by a long question marking that you will see by glancing at the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You'll see a little kuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line, and this continues down approximately a third of Daf Vov. That indicates that all of the lines that are of the Gemara that are opposite this vertical dashed line form the question. At the end of the vertical dashed line, there's a horizontal line indicating that on that line the question ends, and in fact you'll see a question mark there as well. Turning to the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Ma Talmud Lomar, Ufar Sheni Ben Bokor Tikach Lechatos. There is a pasuk that deals with the topic of the consecration of the Levium upon their entrance into the service of the Mishkan. And the pasuk is in Parshas Bahaloscha. And it mentions that there's a special korbonos that are brought on that occasion of the Chinuch HaLevium. The pasuk says the second cow is to be offered as a korban chatos. What is the role of that pasuk? Im lelamed shehem shnayim, if it's there to tell me that there are two, v'halo kvar nemar, there's another pasuk that indicates that there are two korbanos. Pasuk Yud Bei says, v'osa esho echod chatos v'esho echod oilo l'ashem. So in that pasuk, there's a reference to two animals being brought as korbanos. Ela, Yochol te necheles chatos halavim. Could it be, or should it be, that the korban chatos that these levim bring is to be eaten? In general, a korban chatos, most korban chatos that one encounters are eaten. What about this chatos halavim? Talmud lomar upar sheni. Sheni le'oila. The pasuk says, the pasuk that we're questioning, that opened up this brisa, it says that it mentions that there would be a par sheni, and it means that it's a sheni le'oila. It's a second to the oila, What does that mean? It means it's compared to the oila. Ma oila loy ne'echeles, just like a korban oila is consumed completely by the fire, it's not eaten. Af chatos loy ne'echeles. So too, this korban of the korban chatos of the consecration of levium is not to be eaten. Kayotze boy omar Rabbi Yossi. Similarly, we have a statement of Rabbi Yossi featuring a posuk in Ezra, Perek Ches posuk Lamed Hey. Haboim mehashvi bnei hagoyla hikrivu olos leloke Yisrael porim shnei masar. The continuation of the posuk can be seen by taking advantage of the that we've written in on the side of the Gemara, where the posuk goes on to say, "Al kol Yisrael, elim tishim v'shisha, kivasim shivim v'shiva, tzfirei chatos shneim osor, hakol oilo l'ashem." Now, when looking at this posuk, one asks in wonderment, "Hakol oilo salta daitoch?" Efshah shechatas oila. In this posuk, there's an indication that there is there are goat offerings that are brought as a chatas. The posuk itself that we read said tzfirei chatas. Ela. So, what is meant by the end of the posuk that said hakol oila? Elo hakol ke'ola. All of the korbonos in the pasuk are to be treated as an ola, even though, formally speaking, there are chatos in the pasuk, but the way they're treated is like an ola. In what sense? Ma ola loy ne'echeles, af chatos loy ne'echeles. Desanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer al avodas kechovim heviyum. This teaches us that the Pasuk in Ezra featured korbonos that were brought as a result of their having practiced idolatry. The Gemara continues, you see there's a connector marker that means that after reading this particular Tanaic source, one should continue, the Omar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, al avodas kechovim she'osu bimei tzidkiyo. When the Sefer Ezra features a pasuk that discusses korbanos sacrifices that were brought upon their return to Israel after the 70 years of Babylonian exile, the Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel explains that the korbanos were brought because of idolatry that was practiced at the end of the first temple period, at least 70 years before, at the time of Tzidkiyo HaMelech. In this pasuk, there was a reference to 12 goat offerings that were brought as a chatas. Bishlamo the Rabbi Yehuda, you'll notice we have a series marker, a double underline, and this is featured on the side. We have a mivneh note, Shitas Hatanoim b'mispar hakorbonos debo lohavi. We're going to be featuring the different opinions of Tanoim regarding the number of korbanos that need to be brought. So, Bishlamo Rabbi Yehuda, Mishkachas lo lahani shnei mosar chatos. As far as Shitas Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, we can account for the 12 chatos, kegoin, shechotu shnei mosar shvatim, assuming that 12 tribes sinned, the maisu shnei mosar seirim. As a result, they would bring 12 goats. Inami, dechotu shiva shvatim, or even you could have a situation where 7 tribes sinned, Vishara, Enoch, Begrera, and the balance, the other 5, are through the Grera mechanism, where we've learned in previous Shiurim that according to Rabbi Yehuda, even those tribes that did not sin are drawn along with those that did, and they hence have to bring their own korbanos, even though they themselves didn't sin. Ulu Rabbi Shimon Nami Mishkachas Lo, and as far as Shitas Rabbi Shimon is concerned, we also can explain. We find 12 Kegoin Dechotu Achad Asar Shvatim, for example, 11 tribes had sinned, the Maisu Achadosor Seirim, the Idoch the Beisdin. 11 tribes bring 11 cows, and the twelfth Chatos, in this case we're talking about goat offerings, because we're talking about an Avodah Zorah offering, which is characterized by a goat offering as well. So the 12th one will be, in addition to the 11 tribal Chatos offerings, the 12th will be because Shitas Reb Shimon states that Beis Din brings along with them. Ela le Rabbi Meir, Diomar, Beis Din Mevi'in Velot Tzibor, but according to Rabbi Meir, that says that when you're dealing with a public Chatos offering, the Beis Din alone brings and not the community, not the Tzibor. Shneim Osor Hechi Mishkachas Law. How do you account for 12? With this, we conclude the long question. Being that Rabbi Meir is a Tana, we are able to ask on him from a Posuk. Posuk being an earlier source than the Tanoim. So we're asking from the fact that you see in a Posuk and a reference to 12 Chatos, that doesn't seem to jive with Rabbi Meir, that says when dealing with public mistakes, if you will, why is it that, according to Rabbi Meir, who holds only the Beis Din brings, how does he account for 12 korbanos? The Gemara answers, Kigon dechotu v'hoder chotu v'hoder chotu ad treisar zimni. The reason there are 12 is because they sinned 12 times. So for each time they sin, the court brings a korban. The court, we're talking once again about an issue of a public offense where the entire public was participant in this aveira. So the court brings on their behalf, and if they sin 12 times, that will account for 12 korbanos. The Gemara asks, V'ha maisi lehu hano dechotu. Is it not so that the ones that actually sinned, they died? And it may be pointed out that this question is a question that applies to all of the Tanoim, on Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Shimon. How can there be a korban brought in the time of Ezra for a sin done in the time of Tzidkio, when one would assume that over the course of 70 years the original sinners died? That would create a situation called Chatos Shemesu Baleha, a Chatos whose owner died, and in such a case, such a korban is not brought. In fact, if a person set aside a sacrifice, a korban, an animal, to serve as his korban Chatos, and if the owner died, that animal too, based on Halacha Moshe Misinai, based on oral tradition, also is to be set aside till it dies, and not brought. Omar Rav Popo, Ki Gemiri Chatos Shemesu Baleha V'Misa. The Gemiri is a reference to the oral tradition that we just made reference to. This tradition that says that the Chatos whose owner died, the animal itself is to be killed and not brought as a sacrifice, that is true, Hani Mili, that is true, B'yochid, when you're dealing with a private individual. Avol Loi B'tzibor, L'fi She'ein Misa B'tzibor. But not on a public level. And our sugya is featuring the Pasuk in Ezra, which dealt with a public sinning, public idolatry. And since there's a concept of Ein Misa B'Tzibor, so the animal can still be brought, even though the original sinners may have died. But since we're dealing with on a communal level, this principle applies, Ein Misa B'Tzibor. Mino lei le Rav Papa ha. From where does Rav Papa know this point of distinction? As we go on in the Gemara, we might want to take note of some of our notes on the side. The topic heading that we've already begun, but let us look at what has been included on the side. The Nosei, we broke this Gemara down into two topics. One is the Hasbir Hakrovas Chatas of Edizora, to explain the offering of a Chatas offering concerning idolatry, Avur Doro Shetzigyo Bimei Bayesheni, for on behalf of the generation of Tzidkio, so much later, namely in the time of the Second Temple. when in the course of that amount of time, the original people aren't there anymore. And point number two, chatos shemesu baleo bemisa, the idea that a chatos whose owner died, it too, the animal too, is not offered and rather set aside till it dies. Hani mili biyochid avolo betzibur. This is true when you're dealing with a private korban chatos and not a public one. We now encounter triangles, so in our structural note, the mivneh, you'll see this triangle is featured on the side. Nisyonos lehochiach dvorov shorav popo de'ein misa betzibur. These triangles represent attempts to support Rav Papa's contention of ein misa betzibur. So the Gemara goes on and says, "E lema, if you think that he is based on midichtiv, the pasuk that says, tachas avosecha yu bonecha, that sons take over where their fathers were, well, e hachi, afilu biyochid nami, then that concept should apply on a private basis as well." In this piece of Gemara, we've used the squiggle underline, as is indicated by the starred note, as an indicator of rejection. The Gemara continues. In other words, we had a suggestion from Tachas Avosecha, and then we rejected it with this comment of Afilu Biochidami. So we try a new suggestion, as is characterized by the second triangle. Elo, Dukyo de Rav Popo, Misoir de Rosh Chodesh. The point of Rav Popo is determined by that which we know concerning the goat offering offered on Rosh Chodesh. The Omar Rachmona Maisi Mitruma Salishka. The Torah tells us that this korban is paid for from public funds, public temple funds. Those are funds that are collected from the general public and then deposited in the Beis Hamikdash. With those monies, the Soyer Rosh Chodesh is purchased. V'ha maisi v'hu miYisrael, v'hanoch depaishi hechi maisu. Is it not so, when the Gemara says maisi v'hu, means from the word mace or misa, is it not so that people that had contributed died, and those that remain, the rest of the Klal Yisrael that remains, hechi maisu, this word maisu means how do they bring it? Is there not a problem since some of the contributors died, do we not have a problem of chatas shemesu ba'leha? And yet we do bring, we don't seem to worry about that. Elo shema mino. From here you see, chatas shemesu ba'leha betzibur koreva. That a chatas shemesu ba'leha, when you're dealing with a public, with the public, it is offered. The Gemara rejects this proof from the Rosh Chodesh korban. Mi domi soyer Rosh Chodesh. How can you compare the case of Ezra and the beginning of the Second Temple period and their offering of korbanos for an event that took place 70 years before to the case of, how can you compare it to the case of the Rosh Chodesh offering? Dilmo lo maisu mitzibor, aval hocha vaida maisu. In the case of the Rosh Chodesh, it could be, there is a possibility that people did not die over the last month. And hence, you don't encounter any issue of chatas shemesu baleo. It could be that over the last month, those that had contributed these monies, no one of the contributors had died. But in the case of Ezra, the pasuk that we saw at the top of the page, there over a period of 70 years, the people that had worshipped the Avodah Zarah, had practiced idolatry, certainly had died. Elo, taimo de Rav Papa mehocha. The basis of Rav Papa is from the following. Dichtiv. This is a pasuk found by Eglo Arufa. A word about Eglo Arufa. This is a situation where a murder victim, is found between two cities, and the Torah states that the closer of the two cities bring a calf to an uncultivated spot of land in that area, and they break its neck. Now, technically speaking, this is not a sacrifice, but it's a ritual that serves as a temporary atonement for the act that had taken place until they find the actual murderer. So in that topic of Egla Rufa, the Pasuk says, Kaper la'amcho Yisrael asher podiso Hashem. Re'uya kaporazu shetachaper al yoytze Mitzrayim. Midichtiv asher podiso. This act of Egla Rufa is fitting to serve as atonement for even those that left Mitzrayim. As the Pasuk says, Asher Podisa, that you redeemed. Who did God redeem? He redeemed those that were in Mitzrayim. Now, the Egla Rufa is taking place many, many, many years later, possibly, and yet it serves as an atonement for a much earlier generation. So we see that when you're dealing with the public, the concept of Misa does not apply. Once again, the Gemara tries to reject this and says, Mi Domi, how can you compare these? Hosam, by the case of Egla Rufa, Kulhu Isinun, all of the community is there. And we say that Migu de Mechabra Chaim, that since there is atonement for those people in the community that are alive, we're assuming that the murderer, it might very well be that we're assuming the murderer came from that closer community, and so that community, so to speak, needs atonement. Well, they're all alive, and since it serves as an atonement for those that are alive, Mechabra Nami Amesim, it can serve as an atonement for those that are already gone as well. Elohacha. But in the case of Ezra, Mi Havu Chaim, are they alive? Therefore, if it's going to work, then we'll have to say, like Rav Papa said, that Ein Misa B'Tzibur. Now, at this point of the Gemara, the structure requires a little bit of explanation. So that to suggest that Rav Papa learns from the case of Egla Rufa, that we cannot do, because Egla Rufa can be explained differently. So that what it boils down to then is how in the time of Ezra did they offer the korbanos for the previous generation. Therefore, we'll have to say, like Rav Papa said, Ein Misa B'Tzibur. The Gemara now says, In Hochinami, in fact, we don't have to rely on Rav Papa's explanation for Ein Misa B'Tzibur to explain the Pasuk in Ezra, because the people in the time of Ezra included people that had actually remained alive over all that time, namely those people that actually did worship the Avodah Zarah in the time of Tzidkiyo. Dichtiv, the Pasuk itself bears this out. V'rabim mehakohanim v'halaviim v'roshei ha'avos v'chulei. At this point then, Rav Papa, who said that Ein Misa B'Tzibur, and to suggest that his explanation, his observation serves to explain the incident of Ezra, not necessarily, because the incident involving the time of Ezra had the original people still there. The Gemara asks, V'dilma mu'otim havu, v'lo rabim havu. Maybe we still do need the explanation of Rav Papa to explain the Ezra scenario, because the people that were still alive were really in the minority. And if you don't say Ein Misa B'Tzibur, then how could they offer sacrifices for those people, the majority of whom are not around anymore? The Gemara says, I don't necessarily need Rav Papa for the case of Ezra. Hoksiv, v'ein ha'om makirin kol truas ha'simcha l'kol bechi ha'om. V'hakil nishma ad merochot. Pasuk indicates that the majority of the people that were there at the time of Ezra were actually old people that had remembered the first temple. So that even though they were now building the second Beis HaMikdash, and that was a source of joy, the memory of the grandeur of the first temple was so overwhelming because the majority of the people present there were from that old generation. And therefore, I don't need the Hesber of Rav Papa of Ein Misa B'Tzibor to explain what happened in the case of Ezra, because that korban was actually offered for people who were still alive. The Gemara asks, "V'ha'm ezidin havu?" Were the people in the time of Tzidkio who worshipped the idols, were they not in fact doing so knowingly? And as such, people who are mazed, people do offenses, do sins knowingly, there is no korban afforded to them. The Gemara says, "Hoiruas shohoisa." The offering of korbanos in the time of Ezra for those who had practiced idolatry was a contingency. It was a ruling for a moment. That's what the term Haruah Shah means, and we can't use it as a precedent for other situations. Hochi Nami Mistabra, and it's most likely to say that this was a Haruah Shah. Tilo Tema Hochi, if you don't say that this was a Haruah Shah, Elim Tishim Vishisha, Kvosim Shivim Vishiva, Keneged Me. The other animals that were referred to in the Pasuk of Ezra. This was included in the Pasuk that we had written on the side of our Gemara above. How do you account for these numbers, the 96 Elim and 77 Kvosim? Keneged Me, in honor of whom were those? Ela Hiroa Shohoiso. It was some type of special ruling for the moment. Hochanami, so too with regard to the korbanos brought for the idolatry, the chatois brought for the idolatry, Hiroas Shohoisa, which tells us that even though they had sinned knowingly, they still were able to bring korbanos. So in taking a look at this last discussion, the Gemara had focused on trying to find a source for Rav Papa's teaching of Chatos Shemes Belel B'Misa, and the Gemara wanted to know, where does Rav Papa know that from? We tried to bring proofs from a Pasuk of Tachas Avosecha and from the Sawyer of Rosh Chodesh and from Eglo Arufa. Each one of those points was rejected. Then we reached a certain point in the Gemara that said, what about in the case of Ezra? There we couldn't say that the people were still alive, and we thought that the Pasuk in Ezra could be explained only through Rav Papa's approach, namely Ein Misa B'Tzibor. But that too eventually was rejected, and we end up at this point in the Gemara suggesting that Rav Papa has an oral tradition, but we don't see an actual source for that by way of Psukim. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new topic heading, and this we see on the outside margin, the Nosei, Meis Echod Mibeisdin Pturim Man Tana. There's a Tanaic source that we will see shortly in the Gemara that says if one of the members of the court that were guilty of an erroneous ruling, if one of those members dies, so there's no longer an obligation to bring the Par Helon Dover Shel Tzibor. The Gemara will be asking, who is the author of that idea? Tana Rabbanan, Meis Echod Minatzibur Chayovin. If one of the individuals of the public dies, the need to bring a korban remains. However, Echod Mibezdin, if one of the members of the court dies, then Pturin, that causes a release of obligation, in other words, an exemption from bringing the korban. Mantana, who is the author of this? Omar of Chisda, Omar Rabbi Zera, Omar of Yirmiya, Omar Rav, Rabbi Meir he. The Omar, this source conforms to Shitas Rabbi Meir that says, based in Mevi'in Volot Sibur, that the obligation of bringing the Par Helim is a court obligation and not the public's obligation. Hilkach. Therefore, Meis Echod Minat Sibur, Chayovin, Dohokoyim Kulei Beisdin. If one of the members of the public dies, it doesn't affect the Korban status because the Beisdin is still alive. All of the members of the court are still alive and it's their obligation. However, Meis Echod Mi Beisdin, Pturin. If one of the members of the court dies, so the Korban is no longer brought. Because this is a situation described as a schatos sacrifice brought by partners, one of whom died. And when you have one of the partners who are the owners of the korban passes away, the korban is no longer brought. Umishum hachi pturin. It's similar to the idea of chatos shemesu baleha that we had seen earlier today. Maskif law Rav Yosef. You'll notice we have a new geometric form. This is the trapezoid or volcano shape form. In this case, its position will be flipping back and forth as we go on in the Gemara. This is designed to be a ma'akav. You notice we have a note on the side, an attempt to keep track of the Gemara, to know which direction we're going in. This form will be employed throughout most of this particular discussion, which takes us till Amud Beis. The back and forth discussion may, in fact, it'll continue in the Gemara beyond a point that we'll be using this form, but our feeling is that we're using this marking for, as far as this sugya is concerned, where it is absolutely necessary. So our note in the margin says where this trapezoid form is featured, the ma'akav, divrei Rav Yosef. When the form is with the narrow part facing upwards, this represents the opinion of Rav Yosef. And Rav Yosef suggests the nukmo ha deliel k'Rabbi Shimon. Rav Yosef suggests that the source for whom we're trying to find an author, Rav already said that this conformed to Rabbi Meir. Rav Yosef wants to suggest that it conforms to Rabbi Shimon. V'haptur b'meis echod mibeisdin, and the exemption of bringing the korban in the case that one of the members of the court dies, mishum dehave chatos hashutvin, namely beisdin shemeis echod mehem. That this is based on a principle of chatos shemeis echod min hashutvin, that Rabbi Shimon would say that that creates an exemption. As the Gemara unfolds, we'll notice Abaye enters, and he will be represented by an inverted form, the inverted trapezoid. Abaye rejects, and we've indicated in our note, Abaye doche. Abaye menase lohichiach, Abaye will try to prove in the course of this Gemara, the chatos shutfin eino mesa, that a partnership in a chatos, where the chatos is brought by several people, such a chatos, when one of the shutfin dies, the korban is brought all the same. Once again, chatos shutfin eino mesa, chatos owned by partners where one of them dies, the animal itself does not die. And he's going to try to prove that miporoi shel aroin biyoim kippur. He's going to try to prove that from the case of the Korban of the Kohen Gadol. Aaron is a reference to the Kohen Gadol that he brings on Yom Kippur. He brings that korban, and it serves as a kapora, as an atonement for the other kohanim as well. And the feeling that Abaye expresses is that the community of kohanim represents a sort of collective, a shutfis, and we will see a source in which Reb Shimon's name appears, that a chatos of chatos Aaron, a chatos of the Kohen Gadol, if something happens to it, which we will get into the details momentarily, if something happens, it will not die. So Abaye will be rejecting Rav Yosef's contention. Rav Yosef claimed that a chatos she meisu echad min hashutfin, that creates exemption. Abaye will say that there's no misa bechatos shutfin. Now on that point, we will see as the Gemara continues. We've written in our note on the side, al zeh Rav Yosef yagiv. Rav Yosef will respond to that and say, the kohanim einon shutfin, that your example of kohanim does not represent shutfin, does not represent partnership, elo kohol. It represents a concept of community. The ein lohichiach mehem dechatus shutfin einon meisan. You cannot prove, says Rav Yosef, from the case of the kohanim, that a chatus shutfin does not die. Bahemshech haGemara tadun behagdoras hakehanim kikol oy keshutfin. The Gemara, as it goes to Amud Beis, will deal with the classification of kehanim as either kohol, like Rav Yosef wants to say, or as shutfin, as Abaye wants to say. So, in a nutshell, we will see that, when focusing on the issue of kohanim, Abaye says kohanim are shutfin, and Rav Yosef will say kohanim are kohol. But one thing we do know is that the case of the korban brought for the kohanim, that it does not die. Is this a result of it being a chatas ha-shutfin or a chatas ha-kohol? That is a machlokes Abaye and Rav Yosef. We will try to see how all these pieces fit together as we go into the Gemara now. We're picking up with the Gemara where the trapezoid form appears. Maskif lo Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asks on the approach that Rav took and says, V'nukmo k'Rabbi Shimon. Why not set up the source that said, Meis echod mi based in Pturin, like Rabbi Shimon, the Omar, based in Im Hatzibor. Rabbi Shimon said that when the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor is brought, it's brought by the tribes, and a separate korban, an additional korban, brought on the part of the Beis Din. Therefore, Meis Echod Min Hatzibor Chayovin. If one of the members of the community dies, there still is an obligation to bring the korban, because they ain't Tzibor Meisim, because of the concept of there is no death with regard to the public. Therefore, if a member of the public dies, that's not grounds for stopping the korban. Meis echod mi beis din pturin. However, if one of the members of the court dies, that does create an exemption. Kidamrinon dechatos shutfin hi. As we said, the animal brought by the court is in effect a chatos of shutfin. And if one of the partners died, that creates exemption. This idea, by the way, that chatos shemei sechem min hashutfin was an idea expressed by Rav. So hence, when the Rav Yosef makes a reference to the word, he uses the word kidamrinon, as we said, that was said already, just two lines above. So, once again, Shitas Rav Yosef is to an attempt to say that the source of Meis Echod Mibeis Imturin is a Rabbi Shimon source. The result of that being that Rabbi Shimon would hold that a chatas shutfin mesa. Amar le Abaye. Abaye says, according to Rabbi Shimon, a chatas shutfin is not mesa, and he will prove that from the case of the par of the Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippur. Amar le Abaye. Notice how the geometric form is flipped over. Shaminon le Rabbi Shimon. We have heard Rabbi Shimon to say, the Amar chatas shutfin eino mesa, that a chatas owned by partners is not subject to death. Desanyo, the following source. Par v'soyer shiyom kippurim she'ovdu v'hifrish achirim tachtehim. The special cow or goat offering of Yom Kippur that got lost, and they needed to set aside another replacement sacrifices. And they offered those replacement sacrifices, and then they found the original ones. Yomusu kulon divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, that which was now found, in other words, the originals that were found and no longer useful, so they are set aside to die. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, Yiru. The Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon, and we're going to emphasize Rabbi Shimon in our discussion, they say the animals are set out to graze. Those original par v'soyer of Yom Kippur are set out to graze until they develop a blemish, and then they are redeemed and sacrificed, and then slaughtered as non-sacrificial animals. But they're not set aside to die. Why is it that they're not set aside to die? The fi she'ein chatos tzibor mesa, because a chatos that is jointly owned, here the term tzibor has to be taken with in a certain degree of circumspect. The source tells us that a publicly owned or a jointly owned korban chatos does not die. Now, the term tzibor will be very appropriate for the example of the source that spoke about the soyer shiyom kippurim. That was, in fact, a tzibor offering. The par, on the other hand, was an offering brought by Aaron on behalf of himself and the rest of the Kohanim. And it's in this light that we're talking about a chatas hashutfin as far as this source is concerned. Once again, according to Abaye, we see that as far as Shitas Rabbi Shimon is concerned, chatas hashutfin is eino mesa. And that counters Rav Yosef's claim that a chatas hashutfin is mesa. And with that idea in mind, Rav Yosef wanted to say that if meis echod min abeisdin, so that would create exemption. Because when you're dealing with shutfin, one of whom dies, that creates exemption. According to Abaye, as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, when we talk about a chatas hashutfin, we say ein misa. Amale Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef responds, and you can see the geometric form flipped over again. Kehanim Koamris, are you trying to challenge my position from a source concerning the Kehanim? Shiny Kehanim, Dikru Kohol. Kehanim are different. They're not like the Beis Din. They are not Shutfin. They are referred to by the term Kohol. Kohol being something more inclusive, larger than a case of Shutfin. Dichtiv. Al hakohanim ve'al kol am hakohol yichaper. So we see that the term kohanim is used in juxtaposition with the term kohol, indicating that kohanim represent a kahal, and therefore their chatos is eino mesa. However, when you're dealing with shutfin, Rabbi Shimon himself might say that there is misa that's applicable when dealing with shutfin, and hence, if one of the owners of that korban, of the chatas shutfin, died, like the case of the Beis Din, that would create exemption according to Rabbi Shimon. Notice the geometric form flips over again, so at this point we come to challenge Rav Yosef's position. This will take a few lines. Elo me'ata, according to you that want to call kehanim kohol, Naisu par b'hora. In the event that the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin HaGadol, errs in a ruling, and the Kohanim follow that ruling, that should be grounds for bringing a par helum dover shel tzibor. V'chi teima hochinami. And if you say, yeah, that's true, that the Kohanim are viewed as an additional, or as an entity unto themselves, then tofi luhu shvatim. Then we've increased the number of shvatim. In other words, you'd have your basic 12 shvatim and the Kohanim. And that can't be. Elo Omer of Achab, Rabbi Yaakov, Shivtoi shel Levi, lo ikru kohol. The tribe of Levi, which includes the Kohanim, is not called kohol. Dichtiv, hineni mafrecho v'yirbisicho v'nisaticho lekahal amim. The continuation of this pasuk says, and we've written this on the side, v'nosati es ha'oretz hazois v'zaracho acharecho achuzas oilam. So we see in this pasuk the term kahal used together with the term achuza. Kol shiyeshlo achuza ikri kahal. Anyone who has land inheritance, who is a beneficiary of land inheritance, is referred to by the term kahal. Kol she'en lo achuza, those who don't have a land grant. Let us specify our comments here to the distribution of the land in the time of the entrance of the Jewish people to the land of Israel, the time of Yoshua. Everyone would receive an achuzah, a piece of land. The land of Israel was divided into tribes, with the exception of Shevet Levi. And the Gemara says here, V'chol she'ein lo achuzah, for example, Shevet Levi, which includes the Kehanim, loi ikri kohol. They cannot be referred to by the term kohol. Now, if that be the case, they're not a kohol, and yet their korban, according to Rabbi Shimon, is not subject to misa. That would be a sign that, according to Rabbi Shimon, a chatas hashutfin is eino mesa. And if that be the case, so the source that spoke about mes echad mi beis in pturin, we cannot set it up like Rabbi Shimon. In other words, we cannot go along the lines of Rav Yosef. Well, the Gemara asks back now, if you're telling me now that Shevet Levi is not called Kohol, im kein chasri lehu yud beis shvatim. Now we'll be suffering a deficit of the number of in the number of shvatim. We don't have even 12, and we know there's supposed to be 12. Omar Abaye answers. He responds to that. Notice how the geometric forms are flipping back and forth. We're able to follow the play by play. Abaye says, no problem. In other words, Shevet Levi will not be considered Kohol, and as far as the number issue is concerned, Ephraim uMenashe kiruvein v'Shimon yuli, the sons of Yosef, in effect Ephraim and Menashe, they are treated as two tribes. So when you take out Levi, and you would count Yosef as represented by his sons, so instead of counting Yosef and Levi as two tribes, we count Ephraim and Menashe in their stead. Omar Rava asks on this, V'hoksiv al shem acheim yikru benachalosam. In the context of Ephraim and Menashe, it says that they will be viewed as their father's brothers. They will be viewed as tribes with regard to land inheritance. Lenachlo hukshu, v'lo ledover acher. So we can't say that Shevet Levi is going to be replaced by Ephraim and Menashe. Therefore, now you'll notice we have written in between the lines and also employed the geometric form in the inverted fashion, and we've written in a note, Elo Shevet Levi Ikri Kohol. Shevet Levi themselves will be referred to as Kohol, V'Kohanim Lo Ikri Kohol. But the Kohanim are not considered Kohol. Once again, not like Rav Yosef. So that even though Shevet Levi, we have to, out of necessity, we have to refer to them as Kohol, that necessity derives from the issue of bringing 12 par helon dover shel tzibors, according to these tanoim that hold that each tribe brings. So we'll have to count Levi as a kohol. However, the kohanim are not going to be considered kohol. They rather will be like shutfin. And as we saw in the case of the par of Yom Kippur, chatas shutfin eino mesa, like Abaye, and not like Rav Yosef. The Gemara, though, asks, regarding Ephraim and Manasseh, the low, are you saying that they are considered only with regard to Nachlo are considered tribes and not with regard to anything else? V'ho chalukin b'degolim, but in the formation of the camp of the Jewish people in the desert, they were classified under separate flags. Ephraim and Manasseh had its own degel, had its own flag. So the Gemara says, the fact that they were chalukim b'degolim is an outgrowth of their having been considered separate entities with regard to land acquisition. Kenachloson kach chanoyosan kedei lechalei kovod l'degolim. As inheritance goes, and they were treated separately, so too was their encampment in the Midbar. This was to serve as a point of honor to the flags. Question, v'ho chalukin b'nesiim, but is it not so that they had separate heads of tribes? Ephraim had its own tribal head, and Manasseh its own. So we see that there is division that runs beyond the issue of land acquisition. So the Gemara says, "Hahu lachlik kovod l'nesiim." That was only to the fact that they had separate tribal chiefs was in order to accord honor to them. Desanyo Shlomo also shiva yemei Chanukah. Shlomo, in the dedication of the first Beis Hamikdash, he made 7 days of celebration in honor of the dedication of the temple. Umaro Moshe lasu shnei mosor yemei Chanukah. Why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu, in the dedication of the Mishkan, had 12 days of festivity? Answer, kedei lachlik kavod l'nasiim. Here's the concept that we just saw before in the Gemara, to honor the tribal heads. However, that distinction is not of central, of core significance. Hence, when looking at Ephraim and Manasseh, we go back and say that their division as two separate tribes only went as far as land acquisition is concerned and nothing more. And as a result of that, we came back and said that Shevet Levi is considered a kohol, and that will help explain how you can arrive at a number 12 as far as Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor is concerned. But as far as the Kohanim themselves are concerned, as Rashi points all of this out, the Kohanim themselves are not called kohol, rather they're shutfin. And even though they're called shutfin, we saw that their korban is lo mesa. And as a result of that, the source that said meis echad mi beisdin pturin, which indicates that when you're dealing with shutfin, that there is misa, that cannot be set up according to Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara continues, my havi Allah. More wants to know, well, what's the final ruling? This is focusing on that which Abaye said, that chatas ha-shutfin is, Abaye claimed that chatas ha-shutfin is ein o mesa, is that to be taken at face value or not? Toshma. The Gemara at this point brings in a long answer, and this you can see by the tuf that's circled and appears to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. All of this forms the answer. So we have a Tanaic source. In this Tanaic source, we've noted on the side of our Gemara, on the outside margin, a tatnose, a sub-topic heading. Hei chatos hamesas, five examples of a korban chatos that when it's that is supposed to be set aside to die and not offered. Haim heim betzibur oy biyochid. Do these apply on to a communal korban chatos or only to a private korban chatos? So let's see the list of five, and of course we're focusing on Shitas Reb Shimon because in asking in the Gemara's question of my havi Allah, we wanted to know is Abaye's approach to Rabbi Shimon to be taken as is or not. Abaye's approach to Rabbi Shimon was that a chatas shutfin is ein omesa, contrary to of course Rabbi Yosef. So we have the following source that features Rabbi Shimon. Disanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer chomesh chatos mesos. There are five cases of a chatas that is destined or is set aside to die and not offered. They include, number one, Vlad Chatos. This is a situation where a Korban Chatos bore an offspring. Utmuras Chatos, where someone attempted to replicate the sanctity of a Chatos onto another animal. V'chatos Shemesu Baleo, a situation where the owner of the animal died. V'chatos Shiniskapu Baleo, that's a situation where a person had a Korban Chatos set aside, it got lost, and he used a replacement animal for his atonement and then found the original one. This is a case where now the owner achieved atonement already. What is done with the original Korban Chatos? So this halacha says it's one of the Chatos Amesas. It too shall be set aside to die and not used as a Korban anymore. And five, the Chatos She'ovro Shnasa, a Chatos that is now older than 1 year. It's Korban Chatos is bought from an animal that's under 1 year old. We have five examples. Are these examples found in a public korban chatos or in a private korban chatos? So the source says, "V'i ato yochol lomar," you cannot say examples one vlad chatos bitzibor. Actually, if you scan ahead in this source, you'll see that examples 1, 2, and 3 cannot be found in a tzibor chatos experience, and we will enumerate. We can't say of vlad chatos betzibor she'ein tzibor mafrisha nekeva because there are no examples of female korban chatos sacrifices that are set aside by the public. That even though there are public korban chatois, they always come from male animals. Hence, the scenario of a vlad chatos cannot apply in a public sense. V'ato yochol omar tmuras chatos betzibor, nor can you say there present a scenario of a tmuras chatos. That's the issue of replication of korban sanctity onto another animal. That cannot take place on a communal level. She'ein tmura betzibor, because the rules of tmura don't apply to the public. In other words, if the public attempts to replicate a korban chatos that it had set aside, it doesn't take hold. V'yato yochol omar chatos shemesu baleo betzibor, nor the example of chatos shemesu baleo where the owner dies, that can't apply to the public either. She'ein tzibor mesim, because the community, the concept of death does not apply to a community. So three of the five we see clearly do not apply on a communal level. Sheniskapru baleho, example four, and example five, the she'ovro shnosa, lo shomanu. These, on a tzibor level, we don't know what would be. Yochol yamusu, should it be that they would die, that if a chatos was set aside by the tzibor and they, let's say, achieve their atonement through a replacement animal, or the animal they set aside went above a year, would those animals die? Amris yilmod sosa min amufurush. So the approach to a situation like this is, let us try to understand or discover the unknown from that which is already known. Ma motzinu bevlad chatos utmuras chatos v'shemesu baleo. Just like we find by these three examples, biyochid dvorim amurim velo betzibor, those are clearly limited to the individual, to the private korban chatos, and not to the public. Likewise, af shiniskapru baleho v'sheovro shnosa, These examples, 4 and 5, those two, biyachid dvorim amurim velo betzibur. So they, those two will also be applicable to the individual korban chatos and not to the public korban chatos. The Gemara now asks on this method of reasoning, v'chidonin efsher mishi efsher, can you conclude that which is possible from that which is impossible? Let's use an example to illustrate this question. The attempt to determine niskapru baleo and ovro shnosa, these are situations that in theory could apply to the public. How are we to derive them from something that's impossible in the public situation? For example, a vlad chatas. We said that a tzibor never sets aside a female animal. So the scenario of a vlad chatas could not happen on a communal level. So is it reasonable to determine something that is possible from something that is impossible? The Gemara answers, Rabbi Shimon b'chad mokom gomir. Rabbi Shimon's halacha of the chamesh chatos hamesos was a product of an oral tradition. And the oral tradition that he received says that they apply in one scenario. The question is that one scenario the public korban chatos or the private korban chatos? And since we found that you cannot have all five in a public korban chatos, and since Rabbi Shimon learned this tradition as applying to only one scenario, the only scenario left to apply these chamesh chatos to would be to the korban yochid, to the chatos yochid. Now, we have to tie all of this into the question that generated this whole discussion, this whole source. And that was the issue of a chatas hashutfin. Well, we know that when dealing with shutfin, there is no tmura, for example. So shutfin Shutfin do not make tamura. That was one of the examples of a chatas shemesa. Now, since that possibility cannot apply to the case of shutfin, therefore the idea of a chatas hamesa b'shutfin doesn't hold. Therefore, we conclude, like Abaye said, that a chatas hashutfin, according to Rabbi Shimon, is eino mesa. We can take a look at Rashi. We'll look at part of the Rashi. The Rashi that we're focusing on is where we have a double star in the inside column of Rashi, the second narrow line. Let us read the Rashi. The Kodaiko mehomas nisa. We infer from this Tanaic source, the Chihechi de Omar Rabbi Shimon Chamesh Chatos, Mesas biyochid v'lo betzibur. Just like Rabbi Shimon said that chamesh chatos, the five chatos that die, are a phenomenon on a private level and not public level. The mehai hi dukyo diek Rabbi Shimon diyochid v'lo b'shutfin. On the same basis that he came to the conclusion that it does not apply to a tzibur, he will come to the conclusion that it does not apply to shutfin either. That there's no that a chatos hashutfin likewise is eino mesa. Dahainu Beisdin. The case of Chatas HaShutfin would be the case of Beisdin bringing a korban. Mishum di'ato yochol lomar vlad chatos b'shutfin. You cannot present a scenario of a offspring of a chatos when dealing with shutfin. She'ein hashutfin mevi'in nekeva. Shutfin, for example, the Beisdin, they don't bring a female animal. The par v'soyer hu the mevi'in. They bring a, you'll find a basin bringing, a basin being representative of an example of shutfin, they bring a par and a sor, which are male animals. V'yato yochol omar tmuras chatos b'shutfis, This was the example we used in our explanation before learning the Rashi. The case of Tumuras Chatas likewise does not apply to Shutfin. She'ein Tumura B'Shutfin, the Alma. Because we know in general, Shutfin do not create sanctity replication, namely Tumura. The Kol She'ein B'Beis Din. And if Shutfin in general don't create Tumura, then certainly in the case of the court. And that's what's taught in a Mishnah in Maseches Tumura as well. And with this information in mind, we will derive the unknown from the known. Just like the case of the offspring of a Chatas and Tumura, those apply in the case of a Yochid and do not and cannot apply in the case of Shutfin. Those three examples as well, biyochid v'lo b'shutfin. They will apply only in the case of yochid and not shutfin. In our discussion, we're focusing primarily on the issue of the chatos shemesu baleo. The chatos shemes echod min ha-shutfin. As a result of this conclusion, we come out saying that a chatas, one of whose owners, in the case of, where there were multiple owners, namely the case of Shutfis, that animal's kreva, it will be offered. Hilkach hodikatoni meisechon mibeis in potter lo mesukma liba der v'shimon. Therefore, the source that said that if one of the court members died, there is exemption, in other words, the Korban is not to be brought anymore because we are reckoning with one of the Shutfin's death. That cannot be set up in accordance with Rabbi Shimon. As we've said already a number of times, according to Rabbi Shimon, the death of one of the Shutfin would have no effect on their Korban Chatas. That concludes the first perek. We continue now to the Mishnah, beginning of the second perek. Before we continue with the Gemara, with the reading inside, let's glance at a topic heading we've assigned to this section. The Nose, Koyen Gadol, Eino Chayav Chatos Elayde Shehoiru B'Shogeg V'Oso B'Shogeg. The second parak features the case of a high priest of the Koyen Gadol who issues who mentions a halachic ruling and then acts upon it. He brings what's known as a par koyen moshiach. Moshiach being the anointed one. During the most of the first Beis HaMikdash period, the Kohen Gadol was installed into office through anointing. So the term koyen moshiach we can use interchangeably with the term Kohen Gadol for our discussion, even though there are points of distinction to be made regarding those kohanim that were anointed and those that were ascended to power through the wearing of the eight priestly garments and not receiving the Shemen HaMishcha, the anointing. However, for the focus of our discussion is under what circumstances does the Kohen Gadol bring his korban? And the Mishnah says, Hoira Kohen Moshiach Li Atzmo Shogeg V'Oso Shogeg. Maybe par. If the Kohen Gadol achieved some type of halachic conclusion, halachic ruling, that he ruled for himself, and he was in error, but unknowingly, the shogeg, and then he acted upon his legal conclusions, he will then bring the par, known as the par Kohen Moshiach, which is parallel in concept to the par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor. However, we are focusing on the Kohen Gadol, who is in fact an individual. Shogeg v'yosa meisit, if he ruled erroneously, unknowingly, however, when he actually carried out the act, when he did the sin, he did so knowingly, knowing that he was wrong. That's also meisit. And another case, meisit, he ruled knowingly in error. However, when it came to actually carrying out the sin, eating the chalev, for example, or the dam, he did that unknowingly. That's also shogeg. Potter, there would be an exemption, in other words, no grounds for bringing the korban. the rules that govern the bringing of the korban on the part of the Kohen Mashiach parallel those that govern the bringing of the par on behalf of the community, the par hilum davar shel tzibur. Just like in the case of the tzibur, there has to be a court ruling b'shogeg, in error. The error is b'shogeg, and the tzibur has to carry out their sin also in an unknowing fashion, and only then would there be grounds for bringing the par hilum davar. The same rule applies with regard to the Kohen Moshiach. The Gemara opens up with a quote from the Mishnah, Shoigeg v'osa shoigeg mevi par. The Gemara asks, Pshita, that's fairly obvious that if things were done b'shogeg, there would be a par. If something were done b'mezid, if some aspect of this would be b'mezid, then there would be no par. So if we are working with a given that there is such a thing as a par kohen mashiach, it's obvious that it would be brought only if you have these circumstances of that the ruling was b'shogeg and the execution of the offense was also b'shogeg. Why then does the Mishnah have to teach this? Omar Abaye, hocha b'mayaskinon, the case featured in the Mishnah is as follows. Kegoin shehoira, the kohen gadol issued a legal ruling, v'shochach me'ezet tam hoira, and he forgot the reasoning behind his his conclusion, why or how he reached his conclusion. U'b'shoch she'osa Omar, and when he went ahead and did the sin, he said, hareini oise al das hoiraosi, I'm doing this on the basis of my ruling. D'mau d'teimo, kevon d'ilu misyodale shema hodarbe, one might have thought that since if he were to discover or to remember why he ruled the way he did, he might have backed out of that. Kemezid domi velo l'chayev. Since he would have backed out, in other words, he would have, if had he recounted why he ruled the way he did, he wouldn't continue doing what he's doing. And since that potential exists, as he does continue what he's doing, maybe we should view him as a mazid, as someone who's premeditated. Komash Malon, the Mishnah says that as long as he is in a state of unawareness, we don't take into account the potential for his having, for his event, for his back, for his possibly having backed out. And therefore it's viewed as pure shoging, and that's the chidush that the Mishnah reveals. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.